we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I still have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God after nearly 24 years. So thank you for allowing us for nearly the last 3 years to come to you on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening right here on WMIE 91.5 and rebroadcast 10:30 a.m. on WWBC 1510 a.m. In my car that I drive right now, it doesn't get the a.m. station, but there are some other frequencies besides those that I just mentioned to you that you can find the programming up and down your dial, depending on where you are in the county. So wherever you, whatever frequency you may be listening to us on, we want to thank you for that. We do want to say thank you today to Bill Andriak and Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you are like a number of people that I have known, in fact, this year it's been more than I've ever encountered here in Brevard County and other parts of the country as well. If your AC has gone south and you're still living here in the central part of the county, you need somebody to come out and get yours fixed or get you a newer, more efficient model, give Bill Andriak a call at 759-3284. So we're getting ready for our big weekend, September 11th. It's the first of our, it's actually right in the middle of what have been three very large kids events for us. We had our back to school bash here this last Wednesday. Then Sunday morning, we've got a special kids service where we're going to be measuring kids' feet and getting them ready to be equipped with shoes so that they, you know, don't have to walk barefoot in the snow uphill both ways to school. And then we'll be presenting those school shoes to them on September the 18th. So those are some things that are coming up. Now we are, and I do want to mention to you, for the first time in a couple of weeks, we will be having Sunday night service this coming weekend. We had a conference the last Sunday in August, so we had that on a Saturday morning, gave our people Sunday night off, and then last week was Labor Day weekend, and we gave them that Sunday night off. So this week I will be we will be having our grow groups, and I will be teaching during that service. So come out and join us 6:30 if you're available Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship at 10:30. We would be blessed if you were to join us as we worship our King. So today we're going to continue on how we should appropriately respond when the enemy unleashes an all-out assault on us. And there are several principles that we can see from Hezekiah's response. So far, the ones that we have talked about from Isaiah chapter 37 is he humbled himself and he went into the Lord and he prayed. He sent word to the prophet, the prophet, the priest, the king. They were all involved in seeking God's direction over this dilemma. And that brings to mind a bunch of jokes, which I won't mention to you. But basically, you know, there is a mindset that we've tried everything else. And a person says, well, sir, we haven't tried everything else. We could still try prayer. And people said, has it seriously come to that? And, you know, prayer should be our first option. It should not be our last option. If you want to look at it, Hezekiah had tried the diplomatic route. He had tried the financial. He'd looked for a financial solution. There had been an attempt at a military solution, and now he is seeking the Lord, and God is giving him directions. And in Isaiah chapter 37, verse number 5, it says this: "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.' Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirhaka, the king of Ethiopia, 'He has come out to make war with you.' So when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, 'Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who were in Telassa? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva?' And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it." We're going to stop right there for just the time being. I don't want to get so far deep into the jungle that we get lost in the weeds here. But, you know, we've talked about how Hezekiah had humbled himself. He went to seek the face of the Lord, and then God responds. Now, that's the one thing that I absolutely love, is God never stays silent when we cry out to him. He has an answer. And the first thing that he tells us is, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. Perfect love casts out all fear. If fear is a controlling emotion in your life, in your lifestyle, in your decision-making process, you need to draw closer to Jesus. You need to read the word and realize that God does not want you to be motivated by fear. He wants you to walk in faith. He wants you to walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith in order to please God. It is pleasing to him when we walk in faith. And I will just say this: walking by faith does not mean that it is contrary to walking by wisdom. Walking by wisdom does not mean that it's contrary to walking by the Spirit. We walk in the motives that God tells us how to walk in his word. So it's a, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. It is one of the very first things that the enemy does, is he tries to undermine the word of God and elevate the words that he speaks. He wants controlling interest in your life, but God is the one who has paid the price. He is the one who controls. God is not looking for people who will serve him because they are terrified of him. He is looking for a people who will worship him because they are in love with him. They are in awe of the goodness of God. The very fact that we can have a relationship, being as flawed as we are and as perfect as he is, that is an awe-inspiring event. Awe-inspiring. And so today, I just kind of like you to survey your past week or your past few days, and ask you, how much influence does fear have in your life? Well, that's too much. That's too much. God wants us not paralyzed by fear to where we can't even. You realize that there are people who, if their horoscope says the wrong thing, they won't even get out of bed that day. That's being paralyzed by fear. I want you to know that the stars don't have control over my agenda for the day. The one who made the stars has control over my agenda for the day. And he tells me to go forth, to go and make disciples of all nations. And so I want to encourage you, don't let fear control you. And if you're a boss, I will tell you this, don't motivate your people by fear. That backfires. If you are living in a situation where your boss always likes to keep people on razor's edge and with fear and intimidation, ask God how you can live a different lifestyle, how you can have a different spirit operating in you than what is operating in them. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. So allow him to bring you the victory over the fear. And God says, here's why I don't want you to be afraid. He says, surely I'm going to send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He says, surely I'm going to send a spirit upon him. Our problems have spiritual solutions. Now, there may be practical steps that are taken that bring about that spiritual resolution that we're looking for. But I want you to know, we need to focus on the spirit behind the situation, not just the situation itself. So the Bible talks about a spirit of confusion, a spirit of stupor. I didn't say a spirit of stupid. I know we think that people sometimes have that, a spirit of stupor. That means that they're walking around with a lack of sobriety. They're walking around dazed and you know, incoherent. They're not dealing with things in a sense of reality. God has given us a spirit of power. He gives us a spirit of love. He gives us a spirit of wisdom. He gives us giftings of the Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual solution to the problem. And so you and I, we need to say, God, would you get involved in the spirit realm in what is going on? There are people with a divisive spirit. You don't want that. We need the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. We need the spirit of power operating in us. We need the spirit of wisdom. And so when the enemy comes in, it is no problem at all for God to get involved in a spiritual sense for a solution. If I can tell you, that is exactly what happened, because in verse number 36 of Isaiah 37, it says, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. It didn't say that the armies of Judah went out and there was a great spiritual victory or a great military victory. It didn't say that there was an attack from any. There was a supernatural intervention by an angel, the messenger of the Lord, and their enemies could not withstand the spiritual intervention. Praise God. Let me see if I can say this the way that I want to. You know, the best spiritual solution for people who are at odds with one another is for them to get saved. The best spiritual solution for Christians who are in disagreement with one another is for both of them to come to the throne of grace and allow Jesus to transform them both to be more like Jesus. That's the reality. And so you and I, we need to ask God for a spiritual solution. If we're spiritual beings, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand things, not on just on a mental level, but on a spiritual level. The Bible says that in order for us to understand the word of God, we need the Holy Spirit, because the words are spirit, they are life, and they are spiritually discerned. So you can put the words through a diagramming program, you know, like you had in high school, where you put the noun and the verb and the adverb and the adjectives all where they're at and the prepositional phrases and all of that. and you can miss everything about it. The Pharisees understood the letter of the law. They didn't understand the spirit of the law. And so what if we, rather than looking to our own wisdom and our own devices on how to remedy this situation, what if we asked the Spirit of God to get involved and soften people's hearts, heal wounded hearts? What if we asked the Spirit of God to give us divine, eternal wisdom and insight on how to remedy? Don't you think America would be a lot better off if we were listening to the Spirit of the Holy, the Holy, perfect, flawless God, rather than listening to this so-called expert and that so-called expert, which today is talking out of one side of their mouth and tomorrow is saying exactly the opposite of thing? We need the spiritual solution to what's going on here in America. And yet in America right now, the very thing that people say that they don't want is they don't want God involved. They don't want God defining morality. They don't want God telling them what to do. They don't want to hear about God. They don't even want you to hardly be talking about God outside of the four walls of your house. And if you've got kids, that then they got problems with that too. There are people who argue about the Pledge of Allegiance and In God We Trust on our money. They don't want God in their society until there's a crisis. Until there's a crisis, and then we want to take God out of the closet and say, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you? We need a spiritual solution, and that solution is when Jesus is on the throne, when we say, God, you speak, we listen, we'll obey, then all of a sudden you have peace like you've never known before. So all of a sudden these things begin to happen. The prophet said that the military would hear a rumor and return to his own land. And so that's exactly what happened. The king of Assyria was fighting against Libna. And then there was the king of Ethiopia had come out to make war. And so the military commander is packing up. He's getting ready to break siege against Jerusalem. There's all of a sudden going to be freedom. There's going to be a withdrawing of the enemy. And before he leaves, he issues this statement. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem shall not be given into the king of Assyria, into the hand of the king of Assyria. He says, don't let your God deceive you. You know what? That is the easiest thing in the world for us to not have happen, because God can't lie. God is not in the deceiving business. Satan is in the deceiving business. He wants to make himself appear more powerful than he is, when in actuality, he is simply a defeated rebel that has been banished from the kingdom of heaven. He is not more powerful than God. He is not more numerous than God. He just has a voice that he speaks, and he expects, because he's so boisterous and so threatening and he operates with a spirit of terrorism, that you and I are going to cave in to the threats and intimidation. But he doesn't know that God, well, he doesn't acknowledge that God is for us and not against us, and that he is fighting on our side. And so he says, I'm retreating for now, but don't let God deceive you. I know that I'm doing exactly what the prophet said I was going to do, but don't let God deceive you. And I want you to know that you can trust God. This Rabshakeh was saying was, you can't trust God. What I have done other places, I am going to do here. Don't be deceived. This little reprieve that you are having, don't worry. It's only temporary. That's what the enemy is saying. And God is saying, if I told you the truth the first time, I'm going to tell you the truth now, and I'm going to tell you the truth forever, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. God does not operate by deceiving spirits. Satan does. He looks to steal. He looks to kill. He looks to destroy. God comes has come that you and I might have abundant life. And he is more powerful. Listen, Revelation says that there's a time coming when all of the armies in all of the earth are going to be gathered together against God. And all it takes is a word from his mouth, and there's victory. Devastating victory. That's what you and I need. We need to know the word of God. We need to know that we can trust him. And I will tell you this, the best way to develop trust is to start trusting in God when you're facing little situations, so that when big situations come up, you can say, I trusted him then and he came through. I trust him now and he's going to come through. And then after you've walked with him for a while, you may find yourself in a situation like Hezekiah is in this situation, where the problem is so large that it is beyond your understanding, and you trust God still because you have learned that he's got everything under control. He's got everything under control. You can trust him. You can trust him. Let's go a little further down in chapter 37. And it says, and Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. This was the letter from Rabshakeh, and talking about all of the gods that he had conquered and all of the kings who had been destroyed. And it said, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. So Hezekiah, after trying to pay him off didn't work, and military solutions didn't work, and diplomacy hadn't worked, he prayed, and God came through on his behalf. And so this Rabshakeh, this spokesman for the king of Assyria, sends another letter, says, you can't trust God, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to wipe you off the planet. And Hezekiah said, I think I'm going to do what I did the last time. And he goes up to the house of the Lord, and he spreads the letter out, and he says, God, here's what the enemy is saying. Everything is about it. I'm laying it out before you. I'm laying it out before you. Now, before I describe what he says about God, I want to tell you that he says, truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their lands, and that have cast their gods into the fire. They were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. What Hezekiah says is the facts that he has laid out about his past accomplishments are all true. He has destroyed peoples, and he has destroyed their lands, and he's destroyed their gods. All of those things are true. I remember hearing a message one time that says there is a great deal of difference between the facts and the truth. Facts can be detailed, but truth is God's word. What does God's word have to say about that situation? And so a lot of times people have misunderstood, and they've tried to deny the reality of the facts, thinking that that was contrary to faith. But in actuality, faith is what the word of God has to say about that. I may be running a temperature, but God's word says that he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law when she was running a fever and she couldn't serve. There might be vision problems, but God says that he opened the eyes of the blind. I have an article that I just saw the headline in some of my minister emails that I get, a leadership, and it shows a video of this pastor who was preaching on healing. And when he was preaching on healing, he was doing so with a voice that had been permanently damaged. And yet as he preached, God supernaturally healed him. He completely changed his voice and brought healing to him. You see, God is your healer. And so whenever you are facing something, don't have to deny the facts. You can lay them out and say, God, here are the facts. These are the facts. I may not have enough money to get through the end of the month, but I'm going to honor you with the tithe that belongs to you. I may not have all of the wisdom that I need for my job, but God, you have all wisdom, and so I look to you. Would you help me do my job better? I may not be the perfect husband or the perfect spouse, but God, you are my example, and would you show me how to fulfill this role to the glory of God? That's the way that you and I respond when we are dealing with the facts. He says, God, you're not like one of those gods. I'm going to move back up here as we're getting ready to close today. He said, their gods were made out of wood, stone, and they were able to be thrown into the fire, and they were able to be destroyed because all they were the work of men's hands. This is what he says about God. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. He said, God, you are the Holy One. You are the one who sits upon the throne. Angels surround you. You are the maker of heaven and earth. And God, you are approachable. Would you incline your ear to hear? And would you open your eyes and see? God, you're not like those other idols that do not, they've got the form of ears but cannot hear. They have the form of a mouth but cannot speak, form of a hand but they cannot reach. God, you're alive. You're enthroned. The king of Assyria is not the most powerful king in this equation. You are. Today, I want you to know that no matter how large the problem that may be attacking you, that God is bigger. God is wiser. He is the all-sufficient one. And you can lay it out and say, God, you've delivered me in the past, and I trust that you're going to deliver me again. Others are trying to get us not to trust you, but we're going to trust you still. Amen? Let's go into this weekend just reaffirming our trust in God if we can. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, there's not a person that's listening to this program that is without some problem of some sort. But God, you are bigger. We're looking to you for a spiritual solution. And Lord, we are looking for you to be glorified. We trust you that you're going to triumph over all the enemy. See you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away to purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. this bubble I have when the world is gone. If it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing, you're my one.